Wagner. We had to do it. We didn't do it yesterday, but we did it today. So, fun stuff. So let's see. A little sacred cow tipping, lighter at the beginning of this hour than the last hour. Maybe, maybe not lighter. Speaking of Bill Gates and the humanitarians, the philanthropists, speaking of Bill Gates and Nord Stream, and the, you know, so there's something about that. It's such a weird thing. I think that Isabel Patterson is absolutely right. This is what happens when the humanitarians are sort of left to themselves. They probably don't mean to, but they end up, you know, it's the eugenicist bent. It always happens, but I don't think that it's by accident, and I'll get into that in this hour. It's not a coincidence that most of them are, you know, they want to pretend that there's some sort of agnosticism that they can maintain, when in reality it's something quite different. There's a hubris. I'll get to that. I think you'll be surprised. And it's endemic. It's everywhere. That's the real plague that we're suffering from. So speaking of Bill Gates and Nord Stream, I would say in simple terms, I've said it's not who benefits so much as who benefits most. Or what about qui prodest scelus is fecit? Who benefits from the crime has done it. Who benefits most, you know? Anyway, enough about that. How about some sacred cow tipping? Shocking. Shocking. Because of the social conditioning that we've had over the last 100 years. Not saying right or wrong. I'm just saying, let's put something in perspective. What would you call someone who advocated for the marriage of a 14-year-old young gentleman? And or... maybe to each other, maybe not, and or a 12-year-old young lady. Wouldn't you say, oh my, I'm horrified? Wouldn't you call them un-American, maybe Epstein? How about Blackstone? Shocking. So from Blackstone's commentaries on the laws, you know, governing affairs between husband and wife, there's the issue of want of age. And Blackstone writes, the next legal disability is want of age. This is sufficient to avoid all other contracts on account of the imbecility of judgment and the parties contracting. Therefore, this is civil unions too, by the way, he talks about civil and ecclesiastical. Anyway, therefore, it ought to avoid this, the most important contract of any. Therefore, if a boy under 14 or a girl under 12 years of age marries, this marriage is only inchoate and imperfect. And when either of them comes to the age of consent aforesaid, they may disagree and declare the marriage void without any divorce or sentence in the spiritual court. This is founded on the civil law. But the canon law pays a greater regard to the Constitution that the age of the parties for if they are fit for marriage, it is a good marriage, whatever their age may be, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, I dare say, knowing this is, you know, this guy is really in the American Revolutionary and founding period, second only to the Bible, you know, cited more often than anyone else, Blackstone, other than God himself. I just thought that was interesting. I, you know, think about it from time to time. And so, therefore, if a boy under 14 or a girl under 12 years of age marries, people, what are you talking about? You know, maybe the child labor laws weren't quite what we were led to believe. Maybe the philanthropists and humanitarians had another motive that wasn't quite so noble. And so maybe John Taylor Gatto's point about the myth of adolescence You know, he likes to tell stories of Jefferson, for example, running the 2,500-acre family farm at, you know, the tender age of about 13 or 14, or Admiral David Farragut is kind of a favorite of mine. You know, there's Farragut Park in North Idaho. So Admiral David and the naval installation there. So, you know, the story of Admiral David Farragut, John Taylor Gatto tells whenever he has an opportunity, I think. So the, you know, his point about the myth of adolescence and the artificial extension of childhood is maybe something to be pondered. Anyway, sacred cow tipping, and there are, you know, nuances to dive into, but I'm not going to do that right now. And, you know, speaking of sacred cow tipping, what if, you know, the protocols is an interesting subject. There's the way that it's been construed as taboo. It's the perfect weaponization of the real agenda. You know, you put it out there, then, you know, you get people talking about it, and then you come back later and say, no, that's a spurious document or apocryphal, whichever. And it's not authentic. It's been faked. Well, it sure is an elaborate fake. Who was it? It's what's his name? The one who was initially responsible. Even the Masons know. Oh, gosh. What was his name? I'll find it. is it this? Yeah. Sergei Alexandrovich Nilus. That was him. Even he, you know, the way he put it, you know, everybody says he contradicted himself, but he believed the person who gave him the manuscript guaranteed it to be a faithful translation of the original documents that were stolen by a woman from one of the highest and most influential leaders of the Freemasons at a secret meeting somewhere in France, as he put it, the beloved nest of Freemasonic conspiracy. And so when you read Robeson's Proofs of a Conspiracy, if that story is real, the courier and his horse were both struck dead by lightning. If we can believe that story, then it's not far-fetched to imagine that this other document, 100 years later or so, would be circulating. Especially, you know, you have the proofs of things like Pike's letter to Mazzini and many other rumblings of the day, despite the denial of the revisionist historians. Anyway, it's interesting to see this document put out and then later renounced as inauthentic. But it's still out there. And then, you know, the way that it's written, it's written in such a way as to sort of foment social conflict. You have Jews and Goyim, and, you know, if you read it, you're an anti-Semite. And all of that is just sort of inbaked. It's a fascinating psychological operation at work. And so you read the detailed plot that has been unfolding ever since we've heard about this document for, you know, over 100 years now. And history has borne out the plot that this document reveals. But we're not supposed to read it, because if you even touch it or go near it, it's like plutonium. You will surely melt. You'll be vaporized because you're an anti-Semite if you even think about looking at it. So you're not supposed to look at it. But it's fascinating that history is unraveling in precisely the fashion that is plotted in this hoax, alleged hoax. I would say ostensible hoax. you know, and if you do actually break through all of that, then if you read it, then you come away with this perspective of, you know, Jews versus Goyim, which is a very blunted, grossly oversimplified perspective. And it's, I think it's even more fascinating that if you go to the Wikipedia entry even for the protocols and you look at the documents, so there's that picture, you know, cover the first edition, the great within the minuscule and Antichrist, that was the book that had the the insert. That was the the great and small Antichrist or minuscule, that was Nihilus's autobiography, which included the insert of the protocols. But it's an interesting looking cover, and then you scroll down, and so just think about this. This is spurious document. It's a hoax. But as you look at the Wikipedia entry for this, the various editions and translations, really this much effort gone to for a hoax? Really? Generation after generation. Scrolling down, first Russian editions, etc., there's an image, the frontispiece of a 1912 edition using occult symbols. That's interesting. What's that for? Man, such an elaborate hoax that is further elaborated in all of these editions and translations and beautiful covers that adorn it. And my goodness, really? Henry Ford circulates it. You know, it's circulated far and wide, but it's a hoax. So what if it's not Jews responsible for the protocols? What if it's not a hoax? And what if it's not Jews who are responsible? You know, Jews. And thus, you know, not Jews versus Goyim. But what if it's rather something of a high-level Gnostic, Hermetic, Kabbalistic, you know, satanic bent versus the rest of mankind? Just saying. What if it's that? And, you know, speaking of all of this, you know, Myron Fagan did his famous talk, and when you stop and think about it, this idea that he presented of a mongrelized race, they want to create a mongrelized race. Well, it's interesting when you kind of just stop and think about it. That's America, isn't it? When you think of America in the context of, I don't know, Europe or whatever we have in America, I mean, just think about it. The original 13th Amendment, for example, no titles of nobility. So in America, we not only do we not have, we do not recognize, we do not honor, we have a disdain, a loathsome disdain for peerage. Yeah, but Chris, you know, your Bible says God has no respecter of persons. I understand, but again, I think there's context in here somewhere, because the Bible also is very, there are moments when lineage is important. It's not always, you know, but sometimes it is. Not always, but sometimes. And so to just dismiss it out of hand, I think, is maybe not the best practice. I understand the reasoning that would say, yeah, we don't need that, but still, do we have to be that dogmatic about it? So when you think about it, no peerage, no history, no future. What do you? Are you a British sympathizer? No, I'm just saying it's kind of fascinating. If that's what your objective is, this is a great way to do it. And you get people's wholehearted buy-in on it. That's pretty amazing. As far as I'm concerned, that's pretty, I mean, that's just kind of mind-blowing. That, you know, you can get people to wholeheartedly adopt something that might not be in their best interest. Maybe, maybe not. How about some examples of the protocols if you haven't read it lately? Not everyone is sitting around reading this. Let's see. Protocol number one, what we believe, under 1.7, let's see. Under the section gold, there was a time when religion was the guiding force of mankind, but now money is more important than religion. Money, especially gold, is the new guiding force because it gives power and freedom to the common people, but that freedom is bad because they'll always want more and don't know how to use it. We can't allow that. Self-governance can be given to the masses, but only long enough for them to form a disorganized mob. At that point, we should intervene to create strife and racial hatred because they're different classes, they're different classes and races. This will cause them to fight and kill each other, hopefully starting a civil war. Again, I don't know about you, but a lot of this sounds kind of familiar. Protocol 4, materialism and materialism to replace religion. 4.2, who or what has the ability to overthrow an invisible force? Because that is precisely what our force is. Gentile-based Freemasonry serves as a smokescreen for us and our plans. I would say the protocol serves as a smokescreen too. But the plan of action of our force, even if its very existence remains an unknown mystery to the people. You know, what I'm saying is, I guess, you know, maybe this is, if we look at this more of a kind of, you know, something that is an automatic writing, you know, a received work, someone like, you know, Helena Blavatsky may have scribbled furiously in a catatonic state because her spirit guide was, you know, she was channeling her spirit guide. In other words, she was demon-possessed. You know, something like that, I think, is how I would view this document. And then, of course, misrepresenting it to get people to look lower in the conspiracy, so to speak, and fight against each other, just like it says, and destroy each other. Just a thought. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air. And 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. And one of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Couple more excerpts from the protocols and then moving on. So protocol number 4.2. Who or what has the ability to overthrow an invisible force? Because that is precisely what our force is. Gentile-based Freemasonry serves as a smokescreen for us and our plans, but the plan of action of our force, even its very existence, remains an unknown mystery to the people. I think it's a spiritual battle. I think this alludes to what the Lucius Trust and the Work of the Hierarchy and other documents refers to as the Ascended Masters' demonic infiltration and subversion. That's just my perspective. 4.3, this is the section, we shall destroy God. Even freedom might be harmless and have its place in our state economy without harming the well-being of the people if it is based on a faith in God and on the brotherhood of humanity, providing that it remains disconnected with the concept of equality. Equality is negated by the very laws of creation, for these laws have established subordination. With faith such as this, a people might be governed by a trusteeship of parishes and would walk contently and humbly under the guiding hand of its spiritual pastor while submitting to the plans of God upon earth. This is the reason why it is essential for us to undermine all faith, to tear out of the mind of the Goyim and the principle of God, the principle of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and to put in its place arithmetical calculations and material needs. So, you know, that seems to be happening. I would parenthetically offer this. Isaiah 46, 5 through 10 says, to whom, this is what God says, to whom would you liken me and make me equal and compare me that we would be alike? Those who lavish gold from the purse and weigh silver on the scale, hire a goldsmith and he makes it into a god. They bow down, indeed they worship it. They lift it upon the shoulder and carry it. They set it in its place and it stands there. It does not move from its place. Though one may carry it though one may cry to it, it cannot answer. It cannot deliver him from his distress. Remember this and be assured. Recall it to mind, you transgressors. Remember the former things long past, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is no one like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things which have not been done, saying, my good purpose will be established, and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. So that's what God says. Back to the protocols, protocol number 6. Let's see. Takeover technique. 6. We shall soon begin to establish huge monopolies, reservoirs of colossal riches upon which even large fortunes of the goyim will depend to such an extent that they will go to the bottom together with the credit of the states on the day after the political crash. In every possible way, we shall show the importance of our supergovernment by presenting it as the protector and benefactor of all those who voluntarily submit to us. The aristocracy of the goyim as a political force is dead. We need not take it into account. But as landed proprietors, they can still be harmful to us from the fact that they are self-sufficient in the resources upon which they live. It is essential, therefore, for us, at whatever cost, to deprive them of their land. This object will be best attained by increasing the burdens upon landed property, by loading lands with debts. These measures will reduce land ownership and keep it in a state of humble and unconditional submission. The aristocrats of the goyim will be incapable of contenting themselves with the little due to their upbringing will rapidly burn up and fizzle out. So anyway, I just think it's interesting. These things all seem to have taken place over ever since this document has been brought to public attention. And it keeps resurfacing and resurfacing. Been around for over 100 years now in the public consciousness. And these things just keep happening. What a coincidence. But you know what? It's a hoax. Don't believe it. Anyway, we'll be right back. Stick around.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth. Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, You have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free, you know how I feel.
Welcome back. It seems like it was really fast. Bottom of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast already this Friday, October 14th, 2022. John Dee would be proud. Francis Bacon too. The passing of the lantern. I want to give you some examples of what I'm talking about. Maybe talk about this a little bit more. There's a perspective. It's the one sort of paradigm or lens through which we should view society, and we don't. We have this view that, you know, sort of an egalitarian view. You know, everyone has a perspective or whatever, but I'm going to make a case for something, and I think I'm going to prove it. Tell me what you think. Hopefully we'll get to that. So first, Huguenot. What's in a word? From the Words of the World YouTube channel, What's a Huguenot, featuring Professor Judith Still. Listen to this. Go ahead.
Haven or refuge from the kind of evils of Catholic Europe. And I think we forget about the fact that the Huguenots were not universally welcome, and that there was sort of much more complicated situation in the 17th and 18th centuries. As far as France is concerned, as I said, it's a sort of historically specific phenomenon, and you don't hear much about Huguenots as such after 1789, after the French Revolution. And that's really because, having had a Catholic state, once you have the French Revolution, by and large, you have a secular state, and that's a huge shift, and of course very unusual for Europe of the time to shift to a secular state. And that's true down to today, that France is incredibly proud of its secular tradition.
Wow. That's a mindful, that's a brainful. Think about it. Just let that settle in. Once you have the French Revolution, and I would say we could transpose American. Once you have the American Revolution, by and large, you have a secular state. That's a huge shift. And like she said, very unusual for, you know, folks here at the time to shift to a secular state. True down to today, like she said, that, you know, America is incredibly proud of our secular traditions. Same is absolutely true in America, I would say. And so the point that I've been trying to make, not just today, not just this week, but recently, is we just have not understood the language that has been weaponized against us. The truth of the matter is, again, for at least the past 500 years, the Thelemites have been moving freely about in our midst. You know, if you go to the Wikipedia entry for Thelema, for example, wait a minute, are you talking about Aleister Crowley? And So the Thelemites have been moving freely about in our midst since before the founding era. But Aleister Crowley, I'll get to it. They've been moving freely about in our midst, conscripting the innocent and naive to the devil's errand of world subjugation and conquest by way of misappropriating the context of our most sacred texts under the banner of their motto, "Do what thou wilt." You know, whether it's the Bible or the Declaration of Independence or, Constitution, all of these documents, there are two separate lexicons. There are two separate dictionaries that are used. And, the benevolent dictionary is what is ascribed to the people. And the malevolent is what is ascribed to the folks who ascend to positions of power or, you know, patriarchal, generational kind of stuff, oligarchy, this kind of stuff, plutarchy kind of stuff. So it's a simple matter of context. Who is in charge? Who decides? And, you know, obviously the implicit question is God or man. Who's in charge? Who decides? God or man? So, as an example, from the Thelema Wikipedia entry, Thelema is a Western esoteric and occult society or social or spiritual philosophy and new religious movement founded in the early 1900s by Aleister Crowley, et cetera, et cetera. Let me just cut to the chase here. You know, there's the description, but there's the historical. The word Thelema is a rare classical Greek, is rare in classical Greek, where it signifies, you know, the appetite, the appetitive will, etc., etc. Frequent in the Septuagint, but this is what you read, even in the Wikipedia entry. And this, to me, is fascinating. The word thelema is in the English translation of the Greek, to will, wish, or want or purpose. To will, wish, want, or purpose. Okay? Sounds pretty agnostic, if you will. Doesn't necessarily connote a particular context. But even on the Wikipedia entry, for thelema, of all things, a satanic sort of cult, mentions it's frequent in the Septuagint. Early Christian writings occasionally use the word to refer to the human will, and even the will of God's created faith, tester and inquisitor, the devil. But listen to this. Even the Thelema Wikipedia entry says this, but it usually refers to the will of God. And that's true. If you look up that Greek term, in Strong's Concordance, G2307, some of the passages, let's see, 64 times in 60 verses in the Textus Receptus. Matthew 6:10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. The Lord's Prayer. Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. Whose will? Matthew 12:50, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father. Matthew 18:14, even so it is not the will of your Father. Matthew 21:31, whether of them twain did the will of his Father. Matthew 26:42, except I drink it, thy will be done. Mark 3:35, for whosoever shall do the will of God. On and on the examples go. It's predominantly, even as the Thelema Wikipedia entry points out, usually refers to the will of God. That, to me, is fascinating. So, let's see. I have referred to Thomas Paine as the first American communist. You know, it's interesting that different books, you know, he's a very interesting character, you know, very interesting figure. Was he English or American? Depends on who you ask. Depends on what you read. Fascinating, the duality and duplicity of Paine. And that is again, part of the epidemic that I think we face in America these days. So from Clifton Fadiman's The Little Brown Book of Anecdotes, Thomas Paine. If you ask Clifton Fadiman, the general editor, Thomas Paine was a British political theorist and writer. His pamphlet Common Sense, 1776, was instrumental in justifying the American Revolution. When his Rights of Man, 1791 and 92, appeared in support of the French Revolution, he was charged with treason, fled to France. He was elected to the French Convention, imprisoned by Robespierre, and escaped the guillotine only by chance. Now, that's one way to put it. Believing that the Americans had deserted him when he was in danger in France, Paine wrote a bitter attack on General Washington. He eventually emigrated to the United States in 1802, where he found himself unpopular. He died in New York. And this is one account. This book was published, you know, and history keeps being revised, obviously. It depends on who you read, what you, you know. The revisionists are always hard at work. This was 1985. All right, so a couple of anecdotes. Number one, Benjamin Franklin said to Paine, "Where liberty is, there is my country." Paine answered, "Where liberty is not, there is mine." That's something to ponder. But this is intriguing. When Paine was traveling through Baltimore, he was accosted by a Swedenborgian minister who had recognized him as the author of the Age of Reason. The deistic thesis expounded by that book had led to a large number of answers from divines of various persuasions, and the minister was clearly anxious to present the Swedenborgian viewpoint. Having introduced himself, he began, "I am minister of the New Jerusalem Church here, and we explain the true meaning of the scripture. The key had been lost above 4,000 years, but we have found it." "It must have been very rusty," said Paine coolly. So, Swedenborgian minister, which takes us to Emanuel Swedenborg. Anecdote about him. Funny when you read books like this, things that start to pop out over time. So Emanuel Swedenborg, Swedish mystic, scientist, philosopher, pioneer in the fields of crystallography, magnetic theory. In 1787, what is that, 15 years, I believe, after his passing, his followers in London established a sect called the Church of the New Jerusalem, or simply the Swedenborgians. So, anecdote about Swedenborg. Swedenborg was a very practical man. In a little inn in London one day, he was eating his dinner very rapidly when he thought he saw in the corner of the room a vision of Jesus Christ. The vision uttered two words, "Eat slower." This sensible advice was the beginning of all his visionary experiences. So most people in Christian circles would call this a visitation. And what ensued afterward would be generally, I think, described as Montanism. So, you know, you get special revelation from Jesus Christ himself. He visited me. No, that's probably something of a very different nature. Some people call it UFOs. I would call it demons. So there's that. And how about... Federer's America's God and Country. If I dare. Thomas Paine. Let's see. Not quite. Blaise Pascal, there's another Illuminized figure. Another Kabbalistic, mystical figure. Paine was the American Revolutionary author who wrote a famous 16-pamphlet series entitled The American Crisis, which he signed Common Sense. Greatly fanning the flames of colonial independence, his first essay issued December 23, 1776, was read aloud to the colonial army at Valley Forge by order of General Washington. In it, Paine wrote, "Tyranny like hell is not easily conquered, yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. What we obtain too cheaply, we esteem too lightly. 'Tis dearness only that gives everything its value. Heaven knows how to put a price upon its goods, and it would be strange indeed if so celestial an article as freedom should not be highly rated. The cause of America is in a great measure the cause of all mankind. Where, say some, is the king of America? I tell you, friend, he reigns above," etc., etc. Anyway, Thomas Paine is a curious figure, and you can see the lightning rod of Paine at work, so to speak. And from here, you know, we're sort of running out of time, but I guess maybe I'll come back to this on Monday. But I would direct your attention to the list, Wikipedia's list of deists and secular humanists. Why is Mark Twain on both lists? Einstein said he believed in the God of Spinoza. Why is he a secular humanist? What does that mean? And just to sort of cut to the chase, in all fairness, could we, when you start looking at these lists of people and the things that they do, I'm just going to say it this way. Could we not honestly appropriate a certain Nietzschean context of "do what thou wilt" to these groups? Isn't that, after all, the Nietzschean ideal? The higher types, or supermen, unencumbered by and who've broken free of Christian conscience? Isn't that Schopenhauer's world as will and representation? Isn't that Kant's metaphysics of morals? I would say they're not humanist so much as they are patently ungodly. Anyway, I'll finish that thought when we come back. Stick around. More after this break.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one. Rad. Consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Welcome back. Final segment of today's broadcast, final thoughts, closing thoughts. So Genesis 6:3 says, Genesis 6:4, those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. In America, we have, the international industrialists, the titans of industry. They're the tributes to them litter the landscape of America. They have achieved a sense of or a status of immortality in their foundations that go on doing their work in perpetuity, it would seem. This is who we idolize in America, apparently. So, back to the deists and secular humanists, etc. If this is it, if this is the Nietzschean ideal, if that's the case, and if do what thou wilt is the secular humanist motto, or the American motto, really, when we think about it, if we're completely honest, then how are these folks, the deists, secular humanists, the titans of industry, etc., how are they any different from Crowley's satanic thelemites or thelemites? If we, you and I, adopt the same do-what-thou-wilt pathological ethos, then are we no different than Crowley and the Satanists? History is not to be conned, to borrow from grand span. If history and the Bible are any indication, the next step, it would seem, is open hostility toward God and those who are called by his name. Back to the mythical void of the black box. If you go to Wikipedia, there's that black box. And what if there is no emptiness between stimulus and response? What if the denial of God merely creates a vacuum which cyberneticians, you know, Norbert Wiener, St. Simon, Skinner, Dewey, Kant, Jung, Nietzsche, even Crowley are all too ready to fill? Maybe it's not just them, though. Back to Carl Zimmer's article, Mindsuckers. Maybe it's not what it seems at first glance. I would refer you to Whitney Webb's article over Unlimited Hangout about Leslie Wexner's inner demon, his Dybbuk. And I would close with these two passages from the Bible, Luke 11:24-26 and 11:23. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest. And finding none, he saith, I will return unto my house whence I came not, once I came out. And when he cometh and he find it swept and garnished, then he go and he taketh to him seven spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of the man is worse than the first. Finally, Luke 11:23, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. That'll do it for today's broadcast. I hope you have a great weekend. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Biden announced pardons for marijuana possession. I'm Peter Serafine with today's Liberty Minute. Yesterday, Biden announced pardons for citizens convicted federally of possession of marijuana or convicted in Washington, D.C. Pardons do not apply to any other offense or to non-citizens. Biden also urged governors to do the same in their state. This mass pardon event might be a political stunt, something of an October surprise, but it also might be the best thing Biden has done. This is a prison release that I can actually get behind. I don't think anyone should be in prison for a nonviolent, victimless crime. Although an administration official said that there was currently nobody in federal prison solely for possession of marijuana, I'm sure the 6,500 people with federal convictions on the record appreciate pardons. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow, Sivis Pashem, Parabellum.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.